What's up, Mystery Creators? Welcome back to the latest Mystery Crate. It is the third installment of Dad Pod. I'm Chris Cody. I'm here with my man, Roy Bellamy. Roy, what's going on?
Well, you know, nothing much.
We are here. It is the third installment of Dad Pod. This is very exciting. I think this one today with Pablo Torre might be my favorite because Pablo Torre, he has a way with words. Sometimes he deserves the music when he gets a little too highfalutin. But for the most part, he's well thought out and he's very smart. And he had the best balance, I think. We had Katie Nolan the first time. We had a lot of laughs. We had Randy Scott last week where we had, you know, some heartstrings pulled. I feel like Pablo Torre gave us a perfect balance of laughter and heartstrings.
And this guy is a rookie. He just had his baby. So this is definitely a must listen to, especially if you're new to the game of parenting.
So let's get right into it. It's Dad Pod, third installment. Let's get to Pablo Torre. Before we get into you as a father and all the fatherly things that you have become, I want to first start with your father. When I say Father's Day to you and your father, what is like the first thing that pops into your mind?
Urology instruments.
Yeah, mine too. Mine too.
And by that, I mean, this is a common American response, I know, to Father's Day. But my dad is a now retired urologist. He is, as anyone has maybe seen or heard me discuss on television, he is the LeBron James of Filipino urologists. I made that distinction on my own. But I grew up playing with like urology instruments, like not knowing what they were. So I would like be picking up my G.I. Joes and like Power Ranger and X-Men action figures with like the thing that you would use to like, I don't know, expand a urethra. And I wouldn't really know. I only really put this together recently. So I think of urology instruments because my dad is an awesome dad and also one who let me play with G.I. Joes with urology instruments.
Did he tell you any gory or graphic stories from the ER?
So, yes. I mean, my dad has worked in the ER, OR. He's a surgeon, worked at the VA for years and years, for decades, worked at NYU, taught there for a while. And what's so funny about being the son of a urologist is that it was a thing that I was like very embarrassed to discuss with my friends growing up, because all of that really brings you our questions even more blunt than Roy's, which are like, so tell me about the penises. And as you get older in life, you're like, man, this is exactly the man that I need, because this shit matters as you get up in age. But yeah, so my dad, like many urologists, is so numb to stories that we would find horrifying. Like, I just recently learned that my dad has successfully done like penile reattachment surgeries. Who else at ESPN has a dad who has successfully reattached a penis?
Not many.
Not many, Greg Cody. Sorry. But my dad once told me he was doing one in the Philippines. And obviously you do a reattachment surgery and you leave and you don't really know what happens because time goes on, blah, blah, blah. But my dad was saying how like he did a reattachment surgery years later, goes back to the Philippines and is just like hanging out with family or whatever. And a dude comes up and he says, just want you to know you operated on my friend. You did a reattachment surgery and it works.
Oh my God.
And yes. So that's how my dad found out that he had successfully reattached a penis.
That is a good day at the office right there. You know that your work worked.
I guess him giving the whole birds and the bees talk was pretty simple, huh?
Yeah. That was sort of just through osmosis. Like no talk necessary. But at some point you're like, what does any of this mean? And yeah, you figure it out.
Now, not to bring this to sports at all, but when did you change from he's the Michael Jordan of urology to the LeBron James? Was there a day that you're just like, it's today?
Yeah. See, my dad is an activist. He doesn't believe that Republicans buy urological instruments too. He believes that No. It's a thing that I started saying on High Noon recently. And I wanted to defer to like previous generations of Filipino urologists. I mean, I didn't watch all of them play, but I watched one, and that guy seems to be, yeah, the chosen one in my book.
Now, I'm sure this is a question you get a lot, but I've never really heard you talk about this. What does your dad make of your career choice? Because you, by anyone's stretch of the imagination, would, this guy's, he's, you know, went to Harvard, he's at ESPN, you know, blah, 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 around the whole, like all this jazz. But then like your dad is attaching people's penises for them. So like, like, on a serious note though, like your dad obviously is extremely proud of you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He also does kidney stones too, by the way. The shingle outside the store has a lot of items on it. Like, you don't just need to have a detached penis for my dad to be of service to you. He's super proud. I mean, it's funny. Like, my parents are both, you know, they're immigrants from the Philippines, came over to the United States, New York City in 1983. And they came over with the goal of their kids having the best lives possible by being academically rigorous and ambitious and all of that stuff. So going to college and doing all that shit, that was great and super proud, obviously. But sports was definitely a weird turn, because even though my dad did bring me to like a Big East basketball game, we saw, like, one of my first memories as a sports fan growing up was like going to MSG, going to watch Providence play for some reason or another. I don't know why, but my dad got tickets. He brought me. My dad is the reason why I started watching the Yankees, watching the Knicks, et cetera, et cetera. So he's responsible. But he just didn't think it would go in this direction. But as is often the case, I find, for people who work at ESPN or do some sort of more whimsical version of television, pride really does set in, even if you have like questions about the industry, when your friends and colleagues and people like at the driving range are like, hey, are you the same? My dad is also named Pablo Torre. And so he has asked if he's related to me, which is a trip.
Yes.
And so he is always so proud when that happens. And you realize, like, yes, what I have done in my life is very strange, and it's not med school. And my dad, I'm sure, like my mom, wishes I would pivot to med school at some point still.
Do they have that in the back of their mind? They're like, it'll happen. It'll happen someday.
Yeah. I mean, it's been happening, that conversation, for 30 years. So it's still going on, but it's begun to pivot because they realize that this TV thing may be good for me. They've begun to pivot to like, you should talk more about these weird medical stories that they found online that have to do with sports, and then send me. Like, I have a lot of like emails about just like very obscure sports injury stories where I'm like, I don't think this is going to make it to the A block of Around the Horn today, Mom, but I appreciate that you are looking out for what could be a specialty, even though it's not at all my specialty.
So your parents have had a lot of life experience, much like Dan Le Batard's immigrating over to this country and providing a better life for their children. What would you say is the best life advice that your father has given you thus far?
That's good. My dad isn't a guy with many like aphorisms and witticisms, but his example, I mean, I grew up in a family of really strong women. My oldest sibling is my sister. And my mom is like a type A person. And right now, not to skip ahead here, I am married to my wife, who is a type A person. And we have a daughter, our first. And so I learned from my dad how to survive in a household full of strong women. And that means being patient. That means being strategically quiet. That means being remarkably hardworking and consistent in that way. So the example that he set was really just how he approached his life, which is to say that he never complained about anything. Even while, like, again, we were three kids growing up in a one bedroom apartment in Manhattan. So it's a weird thing, right? Like, yeah, parents are doctors, but we're also crammed the into one apartment with one bedroom, and we have the pull-out couch in the living room, and you have the bunk bed with the bottom pull-out in the bedroom, and so we're all squeezed together. And so I think back on that now, and I'm like, the lessons that I got from him are about preserving your sanity in cramped quarters with people that you love who may drive you insane. And that has shaped, yeah, my personality, honestly, in ways that I only began to appreciate once I realized what it's like to be stuck at home for a very long time with a newborn who may be crying at some point in this conversation, and my wife, who is doing so much more work than me,
yep,
and can then yell at me for reasons that are totally justified.
God, I feel like you were looking into my soul right now with so much of what you just said, by the way.
Oh, so real, man.
Saw right through me.
So real.
Saw right through me.
I'm glad we gathered here today, guys. This is good.
It's like an AA meeting.
It really is.
We got to tell Elise, give me something with your dad that, like, cause your dad's so smart. I'm sure all the talk you do about him usually is about how great he is. Give us like him embarrassing you, stuff, something he's really dumb with, like technology. Like when is your dad at his dumbest?
Ooh, yeah. I mean, my dad loves, like many dads, he loves technology. But yeah, I mean, I feel like a lot of the work that my brother and my sister and I do are like in the genre of, you're not being hacked right now. Like, chill out. It's cool. You don't have to open this email. You don't have to click on the link. The fact that you got it doesn't mean that your security has been compromised. So there's that genre of thing.
Like Uber Eats, like you can put your credit card into Uber Eats. It'll be fine.
Yes. And by the way, all of our elder relatives may be way smarter about this than us,
right?
Because we're just throwing our credit card information everywhere. And there are like random websites that I just give my email address to. And then I complain about all of the email that I'm getting later from random websites. So maybe there's something to that degree of precaution.
Seriously.
But yeah, there's that stuff. I mean, my dad also was, you know, growing up, I just saw photos of him and he had a mustache that was and awesome. And it was way, it was like a handlebar, thicker mustache. And that too has been the inspiration for me. I shaved it last week, unfortunately. But yeah, I continue to follow his example of embarrassing, but defiantly thick mustaches on Filipino lips. Yes.
What was the last sports conversation that you had with him?
Ooh, the last sports conversation. He wanted to know how to watch the Bruce Lee documentary on ESPN Plus. There's a lot of ESPN Plus debugging. If people are out there who work for our company, make it easier because it's just not intuitive at all.
For old people especially.
So my dad really wanted to watch the Bruce Lee doc and finally did, but it took about as long as the documentary itself to figure out.
All right, let's move on now to you being a father. This is your first Father's Day. I'm not going to ask you because obviously I'm sure you feel real cool and excited about it. But how are you planning on spending it?
Yeah, man. I don't know. I don't know. I don't even know if I should expect anything. I don't know if it's right for me to expect anything given everything that I have not done for my child. Like, and this is not me being like, oh, what a selfless father. It's merely the staggering amount that my wife has to do. I hope that I'll get to pick where we get like delivery from on Father's Day. When is Father's Day, by the way? I don't even know.
21st.
Great. Okay, great. So I'll demand to get, I don't know, like buffalo wings on Sunday. That'd be great.
So you've really planned this out. So it seems like you've really planned this out.
But man, like my wife, so our baby Violet, our daughter was born 3.5 weeks early, February 24th. And Liz did not use an epidural.
Oh no.
And exactly. All the dads out there are like, feeling their own body, imagine what that might be like. So I feel like Father's Day for me is every day because she has built such a bank of like just familial credit where I'm like, remember that time you gave birth without painkillers? And I just slink into the corner and order what she wants for dinner. So
wow.
So yeah, man, I'm operating from a deficit, in other words.
I'll tell you what, my wife doesn't curse. She was like, this, give me this damn epidural.
I was kind of like making communications with my eyebrows at the nurses, like, give her the epidural. Like, what the are we doing here? Like, obviously she needs this painkiller. But she did not, and she made it through, and I stood there. I mean, by the way, if I can turn the tables real quick on you guys, the delivery. You guys are there. You're in the room. You guys are both in the room. You're nodding.
Yes. Yeah.
Are you seeing everything? To what extent are you seeing everything?
Head.
I I saw everything. I got the best of both worlds because Christy tried to have naturally for like 3.5 hours, and I saw even almost like the crown of a head. And then we had to eventually go in to get a C-section. But so I got like both of the best of both worlds, if you could say that.
Wow, you saw head and guts. Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
The crazy part about what you said though is your wife is a hero. Like, that is insane that she did that. Like, that is crazy. I'm also worried about, like, because I remember when my wife got her epidural, her mood got better because she started feeling less pain. So from that aspect of it, I'm almost feeling worse for you that you were probably, rightfully so, because she was doing something like, you know, amazing, but she was probably like throwing words at you. Like, we don't have to get into that, but I'm just saying, like,
no, let's get into it for the record. First off, all moms are heroes, right?
Exactly.
I feel obligated to say this. It's true. It's
right.
Real. Like,
right.
My Lord.
Oh my God.
The degree to which I can't imagine any part of what they do for myself. Like, thank God I didn't have to do that. is my bottom line conclusion. But yeah, when you don't have the drugs and you're sort of very clear-headed, it's very clear what I'm doing and not doing.
Yes. Exactly.
And so I have no like fog of pharmaceuticals to be like, wow, and you must have been doing so much at the same time. And I'm like, I'm over here. Like, there are times when I was like, I shouldn't pull my phone out, but I could, and this process would not have been impeded. Like, I'm just here. I'm like raising the roof, I guess, in her direction, like supportively, but that's about it.
One of my least favorite parts about the whole C-section part was we went in there. I became a photographer. The doctors, the nurses, at that point, they're just like, Dad, get your phone out. You're going to want to get a picture here. And I'm like, should I even be holding my phone right now? This thing is like disgusting. Like, why are you telling me? Like, what if I don't want to take this picture? What if I just want to be in the moment? I was being pressured by the doctors and nurses to pull my phone out. And I ended up getting like a fantastic picture of my newborn. But still, at the time, I was just like, do I have to be doing this? Like, this is, I thought I'd be like in the moment, if not this one time in my life.
Correct. I was hoping for a moment of just like total presence, like a Zen presence. Like, here I am, 100% of my brain is focused on the most magical, hardest thing any of us will ever see. And I got to admit, I was thinking about why I wasn't thinking that. A fair amount. I was like, oh, this is pretty like normal, I guess, for all of the other people outside of me and my wife here. And I couldn't stop thinking about all of like the levels to this. And like, man, isn't there supposed to be like music playing or like some magical? And it's like, no, this is f-ing humanity, and deal with it. You baby, speaking to me, not the actual baby, you 34-year-old man, you baby.
Man, I really hope you took care of your wife for Mother's Day, dude. I mean, my God.
I tried.
Just because of how much more my wife does than me, like, you're making me feel like, why do we have Father's Day? They gave birth. Like, I'm legitimately sitting here like, what? Like, I'm going to be like, yeah, that's right. This is my day. For what?
Yeah, because I vacuum, because I do the vacuuming.
You took out the trash. Seriously. Yeah.
I mean, I have responsibilities. Let's be clear. I do stuff. I do stuff.
Me too, but it's not even close. But like, we think we do a lot, and we're probably like a third of the pie at best.
At best.
In terms of just work that's done.
No, we're like, I like to think that we're associate head coaches, but we're really like special teams coordinators.
Right.
Yeah, right.
That's true.
Like, we kind of handle the punts, you know, but that's about it. But I mean, I don't know, again, how you guys have approached, you know, like breastfeeding and stuff, but like, woo!
Yeah, I didn't have to deal with that.
What a thing.
It was.
What a thing.
It was.
I mean, she's doing that right over two walls over, but like every time I'm just like, wow, I'm going to go watch TV.
Yes. It was the most stressful part. Like, my wife wouldn't want me getting into any more detail than that, but yeah, that was very stressful topic in our relationship. Like,
it just makes me hungry. That's what it does.
What? Thank you for breaking that awkwardness, right? That was actually
no problem. So we talked about the epidural. We talked about the taking the photos. Give the play-by-play of what happened that day, delivery day.
Yeah. It's a great story. And it's simply because none of it was expected, right? So this is 3.5 weeks premature. So I am at work. I am hosting a show called High Noon, RIP High Noon, but I'm standing in the hallway outside of makeup. I had just gotten my makeup done. I got a call from Liz, and pretty quickly it becomes clear that she thinks that I should leave work. And I'm like, I just got my makeup done. Is this
a
real?
Such a tough game. That's such a tough game.
It's like, is this for real? Is this a false alarm? And then like the other voice on the line immediately is her OBGYN. And I'm like, oh, this is not just like a solo verdict that you have reached. You are at an appointment and your doctor is saying that I should leave work. So again, already I'm like operating from a deficit. I'm like, huh.
I was going to say, I feel bad.
So I'm trying to be the guy who's the counterbalance. I am the calm. I am the cooling of a very hot drink, right? That's how I see myself.
And this is a few weeks early at this point. So you're not expecting.
Thank you for covering for me. Yes, absolutely. This is very logical for me to do.
At least you got to the hospital looking good.
Well, here's the thing. So I walk out to the newsroom in like Stephen A. somewhere and just like, it's a ridiculous place, right? So I kind of say again, with not the authority I should have, I think Liz is in labor. And then thankfully all of my coworkers, Bomani and all the producers on our show immediately are like, go, you need to leave. And I'm like, yeah, I do need to leave. And I'm like gathering like energy to like actually do the thing that now a dozen people have yelled at me. So I just like, you know, it's like a cartoon. I grab various things. I forget various things. There are things in the Seaport studio that I have not seen, incidentally, since February 24th. Like I have this shit there. So I'm just like running out, like holding like a jacket. I'm like wiping down my face from makeup.
Like a hero.
Like that my parents had dreamed. And so I call an Uber and I go back to the apartment and I meet my wife there and we're like scrambling to get all the stuff together and she is in labor pain. Like this is very real. And so what do? I say, all right, I'm going to get all our stuff. I'm going to call an Uber SUV because I'm not sparing any expenses on the way to the hospital. I'm going to get an Uber SUV and we're going to get there ASAP. And so it's like 3:30-ish, 4 o'clock on a Manhattan weekday. So we get down there, we get into this SUV, it's great, and we get to traffic.
New York.
It's New York. It's a weekday. It's 3:30 to 4 p.m. And so we're sitting in traffic, and Liz is not screaming, but whatever the rung is below screaming. Mm-hmm. And it's very clear that like we need to get to the hospital as soon as we can. But I'm the type of person, again, this is about my moral failings as much as anything else. I'm the type of person who like I realized as I was in this surreal like movie scene, I'm not going to yell at this driver. I'm not. I'm just not a guy who yells at the driver. I can't be like, step on it, motherfucker. Like my wife is in labor. What are we doing? Like, no, I realized like, oh no, I am just going to sit here patiently.
Oh God, I know your pain.
Because I know that nothing, I see the avenue. Like we can't go anywhere. What the f*** is this guy gonna do?
Anger is not gonna help the situation.
So anger is not gonna help the situation, but in the retelling of it, it's way better if I'm like, you know, heroically being a football coach and like telling everybody what the f*** to do. But instead, I'm just like sitting there awkwardly comforting my wife to be sure. But like, I don't even think I told the driver, like, my wife is about to give birth. I just assume that he got it from context clues.
I would have assumed maybe she would have, like, gotten, like, aggressive with it.
Oh, she was getting frustrated.
I'm putting myself in that spot, my wife in that spot. I would have been just like you. Like, there's nowhere he can go. Like, ah, sir, like, that's how our relationship dynamic is I'm always like this, and she just goes right through me, like, no, excuse me. Like, that's what I thought might have happened.
Yes.
I got to assume that the driver is going to think that she's going to give birth in the car.
Well, I regret thinking this, but I was like, oh, this could be messy for this guy. Like, why do I care about that? Sure. Like, am I going to get less than 5 stars as a passenger now because my wife just gave birth in this Uber SUV?
So unfortunately, yes, you will do that.
Yeah. So my wife was definitely frustrated. Liz was definitely like the more assertive one, understandably. Right. But we got there and as soon as we like got out of the car, you could just see the palpable relief from the driver's face that he wasn't going to have all of this fluid like in the back seat of like his Escalade or whatever it was.
He might have made news if he did. Like that, an upside, like the one good thing, like a news story.
Absolutely.
Did you tip him?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, probably too much because again, I'm like weirdly apologetic for like him on our, I don't know. It was the fog of war, guys. It was the fog of war at that point.
So you get there and
we get there and again, not sure what your experiences were like, but like she gets put in a wheelchair. We go to the maternity ward and we wait. Like it's not like, here you go, sir. We've been expecting you. It's like, no, like there is a process in which you have to get.
For us, it was go lay in a bed until your room's ready.
Yes, correct. And so here's something that we did have. We had a doula who we had hired beforehand who met us at the hospital. And this doula, man, what a tag team partner. Because she knew everything. I knew nothing. And she, to the point where like, it was funny. Like we were at the maternity ward and one of the nurses is like, all right, only two of you can come in as this is like phase one of like the room is about to be ready. Only two of you can come in. And no question, it's my wife and the doula. It's like, of course, like, no, I'll be back here. I'm going to call all of our relatives. Let them know what's up. But again, like,
you let me know if you need me.
I'm here. Yep. I'll be over here with my whistle ready for fourth down. You know, whenever special teams is needed, just let me know.
Did you get the good room?
We got a good room.
All right, good. Because every hospital has one good room. One. I was able to get one. I don't know about Chris, but I was able to get the good room at Memorial in Hollywood. So
it matters.
Luckily, you got a good room.
It matters.
It does matter.
I mean, but to be clear, like the good room involved like a cot next to the bed in which like, you know, the sheets were like pulled out of some closet somewhere. And so I'm just like shivering again, no one's thinking about dad, understandably, but the good room was not so good for me. If I had to leave a Yelp review of my part of the room, maybe not 5 stars, but nonetheless, you were taken very good care of. So
give me the story, the hardest you and your wife have laughed as parents so far. Like, you know, maybe it's a mistake you made, maybe somewhere your child went to the bathroom. Give us a good story of you guys laughing at each other.
Yeah, I mean, we laugh at the sheer volume of poop a lot. I mean, that's just off the top. We both are the types to laugh at poop and farts. And so that stuff is always just a day brightener. And there is so much poop, so much poop. One of my friends was telling me that the poop changes smell at some point coming up.
Yeah.
Again, this goes through the umbrella theory of like all of us kind of like the smell of our own farts. And I'm like thinking, okay, this baby's poop doesn't smell as bad as it will, obviously, as she gets older. Right now, it's kind of just like, oh, yeah, it's just a funny smell. So there's that. But actually, the most that we have laughed is the most that Violet has laughed, which was yesterday. So because of this pandemic, don't know if you guys have heard about it, but in New York City, I had not seen my parents for over 3 months because even though they live not so far from me, we're very concerned about being in New York City plus Corona, et cetera, obviously. Anyhow, so we actually saw each other for the first time in person yesterday.
Wow.
And my dad's birthday actually, as we record, I'm realizing is today. you guys should all be aware of that. This is all very, very dad themed, June 15th.
Right. Yeah.
But as a sort of pre-birthday, we brought Violet over. They had not seen her in over 3 months and all that. Awesome. So it was a very emotional and welcome event. But what was so wild was that after just months of FaceTiming with my parents, we brought Violet over and my mom had like this little baby rattle and like a straw hat that she brought. And she started shaking the rattle in the hat and just like in front of the stroller from a distance. And Violet just started LOLing like a true lol that we had never seen before, had not seen. And so there was just this magical, like, she hadn't seen my mom in forever and my dad and here they are. And she's like awakened by something. So we had a first yesterday and we were cracking up and laughing with her. And so I'm sure you guys have felt this, but there's a real mirroring with your baby. I mean, both ways, right? Your baby is sort of taking its cue, his or her cue from you. Are you smiling? Are you in a good mood? That affects them. But also the smallest laugh, the smallest smile just sets this positive feedback loop, because we love that. Yeah. I mean, more than anything, that's the thing that we find the truest, purest joy in, is when she is smiling or laughing. And so we just had that yesterday, actually.
That's really cool.
So it's been 3 months already. 3 months. What has been the scariest thing so far post-birth?
Yeah. So, I mean, again, the context of all of this is extreme, right? So
terrifying, like, right now.
Yeah. So just contemplating what, I mean, we had just visited a daycare before all this stuff happened. And, you know, just imagining what life will be like in the months and years ahead is pretty scary, to be honest. So there's that. But that's more abstract. In the more near term, like, it was, I mean, being premature, like, just like the delivery itself was terrifying, because I'd never gone through it, obviously. But then you add the premature baby thing and you're like, man, these nurses are communicating without necessarily speaking all the time. They have their own language. They don't need to, like, give me an update every 4 seconds. It's like, still alive, still alive, still alive. That's what I wanted. I wanted a verbal EKG that was just like normal, 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 normal. Like, I wanted that, because I didn't know when is, wait, you're quiet right now and you're looking at each other. What are you saying about, like, there's a lot of blood? Like, what the f*** is happening? Mm-hmm. So that was super scary. And then coming out of that, you know, she's so tiny, and there's like, and again, I know it's not uncommon in retrospect, but there was like a jaundice issue for a while, and we had to do this whole thing where we got a device, this baby bilirubin blanket, which shined like a weird UV light. It was just very jarring. So I would say the scariest had been those first few weeks when you were like, I think we're okay, but we hadn't gotten numb to the presence of our daughter yet. And so every day was both a thing we were grateful for, but also a thing we were just like, I hope like there aren't going to be any more curveballs. And so thankfully we've sort of like settled into the normal routine since then.
Did you have any like life experiences that you, before your child was born, were worried about on her behalf? I'll give you an example for mine. I'm a ginger. My wife is not. And everybody before she was born was like, I want her to have red hair. Everyone loves a redheaded baby. And I was like a lone voice, kind of like, you know, I'm cool if she doesn't, because I was made, you know, I had some, like, you know, growing up, kids can be mean. And like, that was something that I was like insecure about at times. So I'm just like, I don't know if I wish that upon her. I'm not going to be upset about it. So I'm just wondering if, like, you had anything along those lines.
Well, there was definitely that aspect of it. Like, what's this baby going to look like? Cause I look like me. You guys know me. My wife is Irish American, her family from outside of Boston, you know, English, Irish roots. So we were like, well, you spin the roulette wheel, like, what's this baby going to look like? And she looks shockingly like exactly like both of us somehow.
Right.
So that mystery was sort of settled, but I was certainly curious, like, how Asian is this baby going to look?
Right.
And I think we're still, I mean, every parent sees this, of course, but like every day she looks a little bit different.
Yes.
And so we're sort of tracking, like, okay, her eye color, like, whoa, she has these like slate gray eyes, which are my wife's eyes, which is a wild thing for like a Filipino person to have. So I'm like, okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
We can monetize that when I send her into baby modeling. That's great. Check that box. I mean, the thing I think about is more far in advance, which is like, man, she's a girl. Like, yep. That is a real, you know, black box of understanding for me. I mean, I went to an all boys high school, so I have really only been learning about women in earnest since, like, I don't know, 2004.
Right.
Like, so I am pretty young into the process. So much of that comes with anxiety, but again, I am lucky to be surrounded by like pretty type A women who, yeah, my wife knows exactly what to do on that stuff. And we have no shortage of resources, but yeah, I'm ready for like all sorts of like stupid what to do when you're in an all boys school or a whatever situation where you might be bullied for one reason or another. And like, that's a different genre of thing than she will probably encounter. Like, some kids used to make fun of how I shot a jump shot in grade school. Like, man, you really kick your legs out. I guess there was like a Reggie Miller thing I was doing. And I always remember being tormented by that. I don't know if she's going to have that same issue.
I feel like if you're going to get tormented, it's not a terrible thing to get tormented about.
There were other things. There were other things, but that's the one I feel comfortable saying.
There you go. As you were saying, she is a girl, but she's also partially a person of color.
Yeah.
And everything that's going on right now, how would you explain the world to her when she grows up?
Yeah, I mean, the good news for the present tense is that she knows nothing of anything. And that is a relief for us because she is like truly naive and innocent. But you're absolutely right. Like, I've already begun to think of, well, how do we discuss any of this? And I mean, look, there's a larger conversation around race, which I think is instructive here when it comes to like, what does it mean to be a person of color? What does it mean to be any of these things? And so the first thing that I find with the term even person of color, Roy, is like, man, that's kind of a broad brush that does not necessarily do a lot of good when it comes to specifically describing what your life experience is going to be like. So it's cool to be like, sort of proud of the fact that you are a racial minority, that you are non-white. There's a certain pride in that that I obviously support. There's a certain commonality and community around that. Chris, shut the f*** up. Don't weigh in on this at all right now. This is for me and Roy. You sit there. I know you're about to say something.
Keep your mouth shut, man.
I'm just listening.
Yeah, that's right. It's an important conversation. Glad we're having it. But in all seriousness, Roy, like, I want to be very clear when Violet is old enough about what she might face and how that will be different than her friends and peers, right? Like, such a big part of, like, again, this is going to get highfalutin for a brief interlude here, but like, what does it mean to be of a certain race? It basically means that you are subject to external consequences, right? So like, my daughter, if she ages and looks super Asian, will be regarded as like super Asian. Like, it doesn't matter if she's part something else. It doesn't matter, whatever. It's not up to her. Like, so much of race, I've come to realize as I get older, is like, you are whatever other people want you to be. Like, you don't get to pick. So much of this is not about like, hey, here's my 23andMe. And it says, I'm this. Did you see that I am this? It's like, no, you're going to be bothered or harassed or stopped by the police based on what they think you are. And so I think the number one thing I want my daughter or any little kids who will sign up for my masterclass on highfalutin racial takes, what I want them to know is that it's not up to you. And so it's about being aware of what other people's experiences are like and realizing that this is something that you have to be empathetic to, even if you consider yourself X or Y or Z. It's really not up to any of us. And that's what sucks a lot of the time.
No, dude, I'm serious. That was really cool. That was a terrible
that was good, man.
Impression of that instrument, by the way.
That was slightly better.
Thank you.
This was a really cool conversation, man. We talked about penises getting attached and we hit the serious notes. I think this was really good. Pablo Torre, thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, the word cloud on this conversation. I'm just glad penis is going to be like in 200 point font.
That was good stuff from Pablo Torre. I really enjoyed that conversation. Roy, Dad Pod. See, now I feel like as we move away from Father's Day, this started as a concept for, we're going to talk to people about Father's Day and their relationship being fathers or with their fathers. Now, as we move away from Father's Day, I feel like these conversations, because we want to keep doing these, right, Roy? You're down for that?
Yeah, man. We're in a groove now, man. So let's keep going.
We are on a groove, and we are going to keep talking to people. As we move further away from Father's Day, the conversations will just become more generally about their relationship with their parents or being parents, as opposed to just focusing on the father. So I feel like we're widening our net, and we're going to have even more fun going forward.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Now, what's going on in the Levitard Podcast Network?
Roy, there is so much going on that I can't even keep track of all of it. Mina Kimes has some good stuff going on. Marty Smith, you know, with all the stuff in NASCAR, I can only imagine how good Marty Smith's America has been this past week.
Yeah.
Stupidity talked to Andre Drummond. He broke news and didn't even know it.
Broke news, man. He's a news breaker.
A naker. I'm not going to say that. That was almost very inappropriate.
A naker?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, at least you tried on that one.
This was fun. Everybody, Dad Pod signing out. We will talk to you next week. See ya.
Bye.
Great, Roy, people liked when you sang last week. Do you want to end? Give the Dad Pod tune a little on the way out here?
I forgot what it was.
It was just like Dad Pod or something. Just come on, give us a little Dad Pod song.
It's Dad Pod. It's Dad Pod. I don't have a theme song to show. It's Dad Pod.
Yeah, that's it, Roy. People love it.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your teenager to help around the house?
Okay, Mom, I emptied the dishwasher, vacuumed the basement, and folded the sheets out of the dryer.
Wait, what?
Oh, and next, I'm going to clean Mitten's litter box.
Are we in some kind of prank show or something? That's a camera, isn't it?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.